Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Clint Yates going to stop by at 1040. Dave McMiniman at 1140. So we've got a lot of stuff to get into with those two guys. Major League Baseball, our buddy Kenley Jansen yesterday made a lot of news. Astro fans are very, 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 very angry. So we'll touch on that in a second. It's all brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contract, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right, so here's the deal. Kenley Jansen was on with us yesterday. If you missed it, if you didn't listen to the podcast or whatever. And I think the most important part here, Laura, if we have the sound, what I'd like is the sound that of the stuff he talked about with the Astros. And basically what happened was we asked Kenley about what it would be like to play the Astros. And I framed it in the sense of, look, we all know what's been going on with them, but what would it be like if you had to play them, or when you have to play them again? Because they are, right? At some point, they're going to have to play them again because of the way this thing is all going to get settled. So here's what Kenley said and what kind of rocked some people in Major League Baseball.
Honestly, with me, I'm over it, man. I mean, I feel like we were the true champions in 2017. We got cheated. I feel like Major League could have done a bit better job of, you know, probably, like, strip that championship down. To get cheated is the worst. But, I mean, to me, I feel like we're the true champion in 2017. You know, it should be us. We got cheated. But if we're going to play them this year, just beat them, man. I'm not going to throw at guys or whatever. You know, now you're not cheating no more. Let's go. Now we're going to play baseball, and hopefully we can beat them every game that we play, and we just, you know, boat racing. That's how I feel about it. So instead of trying to hit guys or whatever, nah, that's not cool. That's not cool throwing at any people. So I don't wish on anybody to do that, to throw at people. So just play them and try to beat them every day.
Yeah, so basically – everyone has now been out of shape about this, okay? Other than Dodger fans, which I'm sure if you're listening to that as a Dodger fan, you're very excited. But the reaction on social media is exactly what you would expect it to be. Oh, you gave up a home run to Marwin Gonzalez. Oh, you gave up a home run in game two to, you know, Alex Bregman. And it's just like, dude, what a whiny bunch of fans. You won. You still have the trophy. You did cheat, though. Like, let's be honest with each other here. At least are you willing to do that? Like, it's kind of like one of these things. Like, we've had this discussion consistently throughout time, right? We live in this world where people, even when you're caught doing something, okay, it's deflect. What I call it whataboutism, right? Well, what about when Marwin Gonzalez hit the home run in game two against you? What about the fact that you lost game seven at home? Dude, that doesn't take away from the fact that you did something wrong, that you cheated. You cheated the game. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you know what? Suck it up and deal with it. And he, as in Kenley, has every right to feel that way. But Bergman, are you surprised at the reaction from Astro fans all over social media? Wah, 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 cry, cry, cry. Man, for a team that won the World Series, they sound like a bunch of losers.
They are. That's exactly what they are. It's kind of ridiculous at this point. They cheated. They know they cheated. And for the most part, for the entire time, they've never fully admitted that they cheated. I've not seen one Astro fan who's like, yeah, okay, we cheated. They admitted to it. It's over. It's done with. Kenley Jansen is absolutely right. They cheated them out of the World Series in 2017. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Astro fans can go, go away.
Ooh, oh, wait. Corporate Greg almost cursed on live radio. Oh, my God. Laura, were you close to the dump button there?
I was, and I'm usually not close to the dump button with Greg with you, but not Greg.
Yeah, that was got closer than I wanted to.
Wow. Wow. Wow is all I will say. That was real. That was
Thank
Dodger
you.
Boy right there. That wasn't
so
corporate
proud.
Greg. That was Dodger Boy for sure. That just came out there. Holy smokes. Laura, are you annoyed by Astro fans' reaction to Kenley Jantz's interview on our show yesterday?
I'm just laughing because I'm still salty about the situation. So having them be salty is like, eh, you get a little taste of how salty we are, but it's not the same. So they're whiny. I know it. Whatever. Get over
it. It's incredible. It is incredible how whiny they have been. Such a whiny bunch, man. Like, you've got the trophy, man. They didn't take it away from you. Just move on. But just eat it. You cheated. Eat it. All right? Eat it. Just like Greg Bergman has to eat it when Kenley Jansen yesterday came on these airwaves, on this show, and said he loves the DH as a rule and wishes it would be the rule uniformly moving forward. Greg Bergman had to eat it. Do you want to tell people how you felt about that when your hero, Kenley Jansen, said that?
I mean, hero's a little strong. I do love Kenley Jansen. But either way, he's a reliever. Of course he shouldn't be ever hitting. There's no reason for a reliever to ever come up and bat. And because of that, if he is going to try and pitch a second inning and his spot comes in the lineup, he has to either hit or be taken out of the game. That, I think, is kind of ridiculous. That's why I tried to come to a compromise with you yesterday, and you're like, just have the
He doesn't want
after.
Any pitchers hitting, okay?
Well, I don't care what he wants in that situation.
Oh, now you don't care what he wants.
Well, no, in that situation, Clayton Kershaw is going to say, hey, I want to be out there and I want to hit. Zach
and you know what I would say? Hey, Clayton Kershaw, the other best pitcher arguably on this roster doesn't think you should be hitting, that we should be giving that at bat to, A.J. Pollock. You know what I'm saying? Like, just
honestly, A.J. Pollock.
I mean, it's anything is no offense. Anything is better than a pitcher hitting at this stage. OK,
I'm not sure I'm agreeing on that one.
Anything.
But here's Walker Buehler has something to say about that, too.
Now, Laura, I mean, good God, what is Walker Buehler hitting? 150?
It doesn't matter what he's hitting.
Yeah.
He's okay. He only hits it once every. All right.
Take the L, Greg. Take the L.
Nope.
Okay. Take the L. Take the L. And take the K in this case from Kenley. Take the K. Strikeout and K from Kenley. So one thing he didn't love, Laura, we asked him about the runner inherited on second base. That seems to be another point of contention. And you know what? He brought up something that I didn't even think about, which is how the hell are you going to score this? Here's Kenley on that. Okay, we got to find that cut. But basically, he was talking about the situation where the guy is going to be put on second base to start extra innings, which I know they've done in the minor leagues. I'm not a huge fan of it, but neither is Kenley.
They run on second base to start an extra inning. I mean, you know, as a pitcher, you know, you're always going to play, you know, competitive team win, but it's like, okay, who's that run going to be charged to? You know, who's that? It's going to be an earned run. It's going to be a run. You know, I mean, I know as a competitive pitcher, I guarantee you right now, no pitcher's won that on their stats. You know, so that's the one that's going to be interested. And the DH, I kind of like the universal DH. To me, is awesome because I believe, you know, why should we have pitchers hitting? You know, we don't practice that. We practice pitching. I think it's great to just get other young guys opportunity to be in the big leagues. So you have another spot there that you can have. And to me, that will help the game get better because to me, I'm sorry, like I never got that rule of, you know, a pitcher go out there and it's just an easy out.
Yeah.
So you don't want that. You want competition. So I think the DH will be excited to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad we added that to the end just to make Bergman even more incensed. I didn't realize that was also part of the cut, but I feel much better about it now knowing that was part of the cut. But yes, he doesn't like the runner on second base because he doesn't know how, you know, who's the runner going to be charged to. Well, Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, will tell us. Go ahead, Jeff.
The runner on second base is the one that's going to sort of throw everyone for a loop, I think, at the beginning, because this is something that's been done at the World Baseball Classic, in the minor leagues, in little leagues, ad infinitum. But it's something we've never seen at the big league level before. And it's going to be starting in the 10th inning. A runner is on second base. And what normally happens is there is a bunt to get him over to third base. We don't see bunts very much in the big leagues these days. Then there are two intentional walks to load the bases and try and get a force play at home or a double play. So it's almost like you should load the bases to start it off and just have one out and play from there. But they're not going to do that. There's some execution involved. And, you know, I think the people who suffer the most from this are the relief pitchers who are going to have runs added on to their earned run average because of this.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't it be like whoever was the last pitcher, right? Like if someone, like if, for example, if the 10th inning comes and a runner's on second base, Bergman, let's just say Walker Buehler, for argument's sake, goes 9 innings and Kenley's coming in the 10th. Shouldn't that runner count towards Walker as opposed to Kenley?
No, absolutely not. If Walker Buehler, let's say he pitches a no-hitter. He has a no-hitter, and then but he's thrown 140 pitches or whatever it is, and Kenley has to come in the 10th inning. Whatever
I mean, happens. The chances of that happening are slim. Let's not make it something that ridiculous, because it doesn't happen that often. Let's make it something more practical. Walker Buehler, give me a middle reliever.
A middle reliever. Let's see. We have the pitcher that just came.
Tony Gonsolin,
sure.
Okay. Tony Gonsolin pitches the 9th inning. It's all tied at 4 against the Giants. Kenley comes in to start the 10th inning. Why doesn't Tony Gonsolin deserve to have that runner on his tab as opposed to Kenley?
Because if Tony Gonsolin just had a clean inning, why would he all of a sudden get something going on him?
Why is it fair to Kenley Jansen, who hasn't even started
anybody.
An inning?
It's not fair to anybody. This is why it's a stupid rule. It's not fair to anybody to just get a random run charged to them that they didn't put on base.
Okay. I don't disagree with that, but this is the rule we're dealt with. So we're going to have to figure this out. And I do think that it should be on the guy before as opposed to the guy who's coming in.
Then if it shouldn't be charged to anybody, if that specific runner
can't do that, you got
to
charge somebody.
You don't have to.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll ask the audience. 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Brandon in Southgate. He wants to talk about the cheating Astros. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, George? What's up, Bergman? What's up, Laura? I just wanted to say, man, honestly, the Astros need to shut up. I'm just annoyed at the fact that they keep running their mouth. They're lucky that we have COVID, because if our fans would be in that stadium and we had a chance to have our fans in Dodger Stadium, I would feel so sorry for them. I'll just tell you that right now. And I don't agree with Bergman a lot on the on the topic with that, with some things that he says. But man, I love the fact that he's a Dodger boy. I'm with you, Bergman, and we're gonna keep on pushing, because I'm so over it, to the point that they try to make an excuse for everything that they do. They have the worst owner, and don't even get me started with the commissioner of baseball. I'm so over it. I'm just glad to have Dodger baseball back, and I'm to the point where I just low-key don't want to say nothing no more, and I want to go at them, and I hope we get a crack at them this season so we can show them what we're about.
Yeah,
that's
man.
All I got to say. Thank you, guys.
All right, Brandon. Appreciate take care. You. Be healthy. Be safe, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let me go to Jaime in Santa Ana. Jaime.
Dono.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. I just wanted to talk about the Dodgers and Astros. I just think that it's really, really bad the way Major League Baseball, dealt with it. And, like, us as Dodger fans, I don't think we're ever going to forget. And I live in Orange County. I was ready to go to Angel Stadium and boo those guys. And like the last caller said, we're not going to forget. I just hope that that Major League Baseball does something about it. It doesn't feel like they are. But tell me about what you think about this, Adano. If Major League Baseball lets the Astros get away with that, why aren't they letting Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame as a player?
I'm so with you with that. I actually said that what the Astros did is worse than the steroid guys and Pete Rose.
Exactly.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. I'm with you. I'm wholeheartedly with you. I think that what the Astros did as an organization is far worse than a guy taking steroids. Because, by the way, by that time, everybody was taking steroids in the early 2000s. Everybody. All right? And Pete Rose, too. Pete Rose's been dealing with this for 30 years. Enough is enough already with him. Primo is in South Central. Primo, ¿cómo estás?
Hey, hey, Jorge. Let me get to talking real quick. In the first place, I dreamt I was baseball commissioner, and for $30 million a year, I would have figured out that if Houston or Boston Red Sox win the American League pennant, they would have to play a mandatory 5-game series against the Dodgers before even think about entering the World Series. Now, to that other issue about the inherited man on second base, see, Bergman is kind of cool, but he's more dogmatic than maybe Dave Singer when he was produced. But Bergman is because a transaction is a transaction. The guy on second, or if he's on third with a big lead, and his name is Maury Wills. The pitcher, if Kenley comes in or whomever is pitching, he should prevent a hit, which would get the guy across home plate for that run. So that run should be charged to whomever is on the mound. I know we can feel sad for the pitcher or the starting pitcher or the middle relief guy if he winds up in a situation with guys on second and first or something. But the guy who comes in to get him, and get him is the key phrase, get him. The reliever has to get him. You got to get him. You got to get him to strike out, fall down, maybe brush him off the plate and let him know that home plate does not belong to him or whatever, you know, but anyway.
All right, Primo.
Okay.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Okay. Be safe. We love you. Let me go to James in San Pedro before we move on. James.
Hey, Sedano, just to add to that, look, when we have errors, fielder's choice, all of those different factors can affect what's considered fair, who gets the run. And in
right.
the age of analytics, I think we should just be assigning half a run to each pitcher. We'll eliminate.
You know
a
what?
Lot
that's
of,
not terrible. That's not a terrible idea. I kind of like that, to be honest with you.
I think it's probably the best idea that you've heard on your show today. I mean, but that's just me.
It's only been 12 minutes in, but it has been. I will give you that.
I set the bar really, really low, George.
James, be safe, man. Thanks again.
Why isn't it just an unearned run? It should just be an unearned run.
No, your idea stinks. James is better.
An unearned run?
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Speaking of terrible ideas, John Ireland said you, Bergman, had the worst idea ever. I'm going to tell the audience what John Ireland said about you yesterday. Or excuse me. Yeah, it was yesterday. He said this about you yesterday.
Yeah,
plus the NBA. Some reluctance from some guys at the top. I'll tell you what that's all about in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch the new Shower Sessions at youtube.com/progressive. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. By the way, I want to credit this person properly, Jeff Gluck, who covers NASCAR. And he has tweeted out a pic. NASCAR released a photo of the garage pull rope that was fashioned into a noose at Talladega. I just retweeted it. If you want to take a look at it. If you still think NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, and the media were overreacting, there's a reason NASCAR and the FBI still called it a noose, not just a rope. Like I said previously, you're telling on yourself. If you see that picture and don't think that way, you're absolutely telling on yourself. I'm telling you, go see it. You can see it for yourself. That thing doesn't look like just something to pull open a garage. Like I told Travis and LZ yesterday, I have seen ropes to pull open a garage. I've seen ropes to pull open a storage unit. They're usually all straight. So, anyway. Bergman, let's get to you. John Ireland said you had the worst idea ever yesterday on the show before I get back to the phone calls and the Dodgers and Kenley's interview yesterday here on the show. What was that idea? Because you didn't say it on this show. If it was the worst idea, I would have liked to have had the chance to make fun of you for it.
Right. Now, to be fair, it was not my idea, and I kind of misread it, but either way, it says it was from Roger Schill on Twitter, and he said, like a drive-in movie, Fans should be able to listen to the game in their cars in the parking lot. Honking would replace cheering. And I said, I love this idea so much. How do we make this happen? And so that's all that Ireland said, was just that I love the idea, which, I mean, I still kind of like it, except for the fact that once I realized that Frank McCourt remembered, at least, that Frank McCourt owns the parking lot, I was out. That was it. No thank you. And also, I kind of wanted to do it just to boo the Astros, like that, just as a booing thing where you just hit the horn every just to boo the Astros the entire game.
I think booing the Astros would be good. Like, other than the McCourt thing, I don't think that was a bad idea, actually, by you.
Yeah, I don't think it's that terrible of an idea. And, like, it just gives, you know, fans a chance to go in there. The way that Brian Kamenetsky was on the show with John yesterday, and he came up with a good idea too. Make it like an actual drive-in movie. Have them put up just giant screens around the parking lot and have them give out food. And then so that way you're not on a delay from the radio. So you can actually just watch the live feed of the game. And then you just honk away at them.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that. I got to be honest with you, Bergman. I was ready to mock you. But no, I'm kind of with you. You know what, Ireland? You're a terrible judge of good ideas. How about that?
Thank you, Sedano. Oh, God, I feel so much better today.
You know what? Let's do that again. Like, Laura, cut that up and make sure you send it to Lindsay and make sure they play it on their show today. I think Ireland is a terrible judge of good ideas. I, for once, think Bergman actually had a good idea. There you go. Cut that up and send it to them.
I love that. And then they were calling me stupid.
And by the way, it is still a backhanded compliment that I still said, for once, I think you had a great idea.
Yes, very much.
Laura,
I got it. Don't worry.
Do you like Greg's idea for once?
I did. I actually saw his tweet and forgot to text him that I loved it. So I was waiting for something horrible. I'm like, Greg, what did you say now? But I'm like, yo, I actually dug that idea. So yeah, I'm with you guys. Let's do it.
Thank you. Thank you. I can have a W every once in a while. That's all I'm asking. Just every once in a while.
Yeah. You get it once in a while. It's okay. It's okay.
No. It's okay.
So anyway, so that I actually don't think that's a terrible idea, but the McCourt thing does stink. Now, I read he doesn't own 100% of the lots, though, anymore, but he still owns some of it, yes.
Yeah, as long as he owns some of it, I don't want any money going into his pockets, so I don't, you know, I would prefer not to do that.
I hear you. I get it. No problem. So let me ask you this, Bergman, while I've got you here. Sam Amick of The Athletic, who is a friend of the program, wrote a story today about certain GMs that are reluctant, that are going to go. They're going to go to Orlando because they know it's in the best interest of the game, but they are reluctant. Here are some of the quotes. If the cases keep spiking in Florida, things are going to happen, one GM told The Athletic on Monday. I'm really, really concerned for the league big picture wise in many, many ways. Others are mildly concerned, trusting Commissioner Adam Silver. Now, granted, these are just a couple of guys they got on, anonymously in a story. The majority of the general managers feel like they're okay. They trust Adam and they trust Disney World. But there are a couple, including another, who said, it's the hindsight of, was it worth it? That worries me, another GM said. If something happens, the question of, was it worth it? If everything goes great, it's historic, and it'll be remembered throughout history. Remember the bubble, or whatever they're going to call it? It'll be a special thing as long as we can make it through. Are you at all more concerned because of what you see in Florida?
No, I'm not. I do think that their opinions are completely valid and it's right for them. At least they're going to go. But no, I'm not worried about it because of what's happening in – it's not even in Orlando. Where is it? It's in Kissimmee. Is that where it is? Is that right?
Kissimmee,
the
yes.
Bubble? Yeah, Kissimmee. Yeah, it's in Kissimmee. And that's where it's – so, and it's also its own specific area that they can't really leave as long as they – stick to that. So I'm not worried so much about Orlando or even Florida in general as much as what would be happening inside of that bubble. So I think it's going to be okay. I'm not worried.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I listen, I am telling you that the CDC, Dr. Fauci, all the health experts seem to think that this is the safest way possible. There's nothing foolproof. Nothing. Nothing is going to be impenetrable. Okay. But It is the best possibility. And look, the people are worried, as they should. Like, I don't think that anyone in their right mind would be like, yep, no problem, I'm going to be good. Like, you're not going to get a consensus on that. And Laura, I know we have Jackie McMullen's sound. She was on the Brian Windhorst Hoop Collective podcast. And she talked about some of the people that she spoke with. Let's hear what Jackie had to say.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm not saying that people aren't going, because the people I spoke with today, they are going. They feel a responsibility to their teams, and they're going to go. But they're hearing the anxiety in the voices of their teams, their players, and that's coming a lot, too, from their homes, from their families, who are nervous about going. It's one thing if you're a player and you're like, yeah, this is my job, I'm going to do this. And then you're like, okay, honey, kids, we're all going to go. Wait a minute. No, I don't want to. What about my aunt? What about my parents? What about our son? You know, he has this, he has that. What about our daughter? And then I think all of these things have kind of built up over the last 48 hours. So even though they're going to go, I think the anxiety level, based on the conversations I've had over the last 3 or 4 days, has risen significantly.
Yeah. I mean, look, of course, because what have I told you the whole time, Bergman? The one thing that concerns me is
the pandemic.
No, man, Florida.
Oh, Florida. Oh, yeah, just being Florida.
Yeah, it's just Florida being Florida. And that's always the thing. And I know I grew up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and particularly the northern part of Florida, which is a lot different than the southern part of Florida, is what I would say. So, yeah. But still, all encompassing, because hashtag because Florida. Like, that's an issue. But again, I trust the NBA. I trust Adam Silver. I trust the health officials. I would be more worried about the other sports, to be honest with you. Way more than I would be worried about the NBA. But still, there is some natural worry. No doubt. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Let's go to the phones. Ted is in Fullerton, wants to weigh in, I believe, on the Dodger conversation we were having last segment. Ted, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you?
All good, buddy.
Hey, I think maybe they should come up with a new stat just for the players that are coming in on the 10th inning.
Like a new stat? What do you suggest?
Like a new stat for players that are on base after the 10th inning. You know, I mean, instead of just adding it to their existing stat, it's because it's a new thing, so they should come up with a new stat. I don't know. Just a thought.
All right, Ted. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Stay healthy. Let me go to Jack in Valencia. Jack. Oh, I'm sorry. Jake in Santa Clarita.
What's going on?
What's up, hey, bud? What do you got?
First and foremost, I just want to say I'm a diehard baseball fan. Doesn't matter what Mickey Mouse is on the front. I just really appreciate the sport, the athletes. And I really think Manfred's taking it a little too far with the 10th inning rule on second. It feels like a glorified T-ball. I think
They do it in the minors. They do it in the minors, and they do it at the World Baseball Classic. So it's not like completely unprecedented, but I do feel like it's strange, sure.
Yeah, and I think the sabermetrics is kind of taken away from the human element as well. And there's more action right now, I feel like, in a golf swing than it is per baseball swing. And that's what actually makes these games feel a little bit longer. But that was my take, and I want to thank you guys very much.
All right, Jake, appreciate it, buddy. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Bergman, what would you be okay with? Just could you create a new stat like the guy Ted was saying in Fullerton?
I mean, there are so many stats in baseball, and they create new stats all the time. So, I mean, if you get like an inherited runner across IRA or something like that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fine.
Inherited runner. I like that. IRA. Inherited runner allowed. Look at you, Bergman. You and Ted Fullerton. Bergman, you're on a roll today.
Hey, I should quit while I'm ahead. I should just walk out right now and just not speak anymore.
You did send me a text of someone. I have dubbed your followers, the people who support you, the Bergmanites, okay? And now you said you have found a Bergmanite, right? Like, who is this Bergmanite?
I did. His name is Kev on Twitter, and he sent me a whole thing of why we love Bergman. He replies to our tweets and DMs, which I do because I don't see what the problem with that is. He's passionate and absolutely factual. You might disagree with that, but I don't. he said, he's not a pessimist like John Ireland. And four, he's not sensitive like Steve Mason. Bergman 2020 with three fire emojis.
Wow, Bergman 2020. Look at that.
I love that. That was the best tweet I've ever gotten.
I mean, it probably is, to be honest. I was going to say hyperbolic. Yeah, but it's probably not hyperbolic, to be honest with you. All right, coming up next, the NFL, all of a sudden, is starting to take this a little more seriously. We'll tell you what that's all about in just a second. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes. Sedano over here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. 11 years ago today, Michael Jackson passed away. Pretty wild, man. Look, there's a lot of opinions on Michael Jackson. I think that, you know, it varies from a wide spectrum. I think musically, if you can compartmentalize that, I don't think there's any denying how unbelievable he was, the king of pop. I know that there's some allegations out there. And obviously, there was a lot of other stuff that makes people uneasy. So, but yeah, it is, do you remember that day? Like, it was covered like unlike anything I'd ever seen at that time. You know what I mean? Like just everything that entailed the coverage of his passing, the rush, you know, getting to the hospital, the whole thing, and just everything that kind of ensued after was just wild.
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy day. I remember bits and pieces of it. I don't have a great memory, but it was a very sad day. I'm with you. I think that if you can compartmentalize it and not think about some of it's tough to do this, but think about some of the allegations. He's just an incredible singer, songwriter, dancer, the whole deal.
Yeah, it's it is kind of wild, you know, just the way his whole life went. But yeah, there's a lot of strong opinions one way or another about Michael, but. By the way, I do want to have this conversation with you because, you know, I was thinking of my childhood, right? And just kind of things that have, were like cool during my childhood. And Chuck E. Cheese was a thing when I was a kid growing up, and they have officially filed for bankruptcy. And I guess I understand it, you know, at the end of the day, during a pandemic, that place is kind of a petri dish, right?
Yeah, a little
with
bit.
A bunch of kids running around, you know, and kids who are not necessarily always very, kids aren't hygienic, right? They pick their nose, they put it on stuff, right? You know what I mean? They slobber everywhere. I know, I've got two of them. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not easy. But Chuck E. Cheese, they did have that one last ditch effort. Remember they were trying to fool people on Postmates with their pizza delivery? What were they? They were calling it something else. It was like the name of one of the villains, I think, of the Chuck E. Cheese villains of one of the characters. But yeah, it didn't last. It didn't last very long. But
it was Pasquale's Pizza and Wings.
Pasquale's, yes. So pour one out for Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is no longer there. I do think the 90s, though, and that kind of what it reminds me of, the 90s were a great decade. Bergman, what do you remember about the 90s?
The
90s, how old were you in the 90s?
In the 90s, I was in my teenage years. So I was born in 83. So, you know, I was, from basically 7 to whatever, 18 years old, right around that time. So that was a great time for me. I loved the 90s. I thought it was a ton of fun. The TV shows were great. Just the food. Like, I was able to go – I talk about this all the time with people, that I was able to go from when I was about 10 years old, just go on either my rollerblades or a skateboard and just go down Ventura Boulevard with two of my friends. No parent, no nothing. We would just go to different places along Ventura Boulevard with no problem.
Right. Yeah.
You can't do that now anymore.
No. Laura, what do you remember about the 90s? Because I feel like the 90s were pretty fun.
I was fairly young, but I love the sitcoms. Like, that's my thing. I watched a lot of TV when I was younger.
Yeah, there was good TV. Seinfeld, Friends, The Simpsons. Their premiere was 89, but they really blew
Saved
up in the 90s.
The Bell.
I was like, Saved
yeah,
by the
Saved
Bell.
By the Bell. Family HBO. Matters. HBO had a bunch of shows in the 90s that, you know, The Sopranos was in the 90s. That's kind of where, like, HBO really started to take off. Every Sunday kind of became a momentous moment on television because of that. Pulp Fiction came out as a movie. I remember that. That's when, like, Disney and Pixar became very, very popular. Toy Story came out then. Obviously, in sports, man, there were so many big moments in the 90s, right? Like, Ken Griffey Jr. was, like, the most popular athlete. Michael Jordan, the other most popular athlete. Mike Tyson was popular in the 90s. Like, sports in the 90s was pretty crazy, too.
We don't like to talk about sports in the 90s if you're from L.A. There wasn't a lot of good things that happened in the 90s.
No, I know. Well, in L.A. specifically.
For UCLA fan. UCLA fan.
UCLA, 95.
Great, yeah. 90s. Yeah. 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 Well, we had eight straight years of USC.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about, well, college basketball is what I'm saying. But yeah, they did. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, because you had your boy Cade McNown. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Like, yeah. That was in 98. Yeah.
Yeah.
90. Yeah.
We had a lot of crazy Olympic moments in the 90s. The Kerry Strug moment. Remember that? Tiger won his first Masters. The home run chase. Like, there was so many moments. Like, Ripken's consecutive game win streak, and, you know, I mentioned Jordan. Like, the 90s overall in sports was pretty incredible.
Just seemed, yeah, it just seemed like a better time, except for the L.A. portion of all of that. Wasn't there a...
Well, I don't know if it was all a better time. Like, there was plenty of stuff that wasn't great in the 90s, like any decade. Like, we can look back and, you know, there were clearly a lot of social unrest. You know, there was disease in, you know, brought... Like, you know, I don't want to make it seem like it was just, like, perfect. But there were... A lot of things in the 90s that were created or invented or mythologies were created that we still kind of deal with today. I mean, look, the internet boom happened in the 90s. We wouldn't be talking about a lot of things, you know,
Were you freaked out by Y2K?
You know, I don't know if I was freaked out by it, but I was kind of like, man, am I going to have to get like a new computer? You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I? Because, you know, in the 90s, I had just graduated from college, right? So it's not like I had a ton of money to worry about in the bank or anything, you know? But yeah, my thing was just more like, dude, what's going to happen to like my computer? Like, am I going to have to buy another computer? Am I going to spend another grand on a computer? That was my issue.
My dad went full on crazy with Y2K. Like, he built a company for all this stuff. He was going on and doing speaking engagements talking about Y2K.
Wow, really?
It was intense, man. And it was so good. Nothing ever happened with it, obviously, but I think it actually did help him get clients and stuff later on. But either way, he went full force on that Y2K.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Good for him that he cashed in on that. Speaking of cashing in, the NFL will not cash in on the Hall of Fame game. That was canceled, Bergman. Cowboys-Steelers Hall of Fame game canceled because of the pandemic. And do you believe that the NFL will get off without a hitch? Because there are people that think they'll start, but that they may have to stop and kind of resume, kind of like the NBA and the NHL. Do you even think they'll get off the ground is my question.
I'm a little worried about the NFL getting off the ground. I can see that really not going as planned. Football is just one of those sports that you're just so constantly on top of each other and like with your face, and it's very difficult. I'm worried that it's not going to get, and they're sitting here talking about how, oh, let's just have fans in the stands right away. I just don't think that it's going to start off really at all. I mean, it will eventually start, but I think very late down the line.
Yeah, I'm worried about football a little bit for sure. All right, coming up next, Clint Yates is going to stop by. We'll talk to him. He's a huge baseball guy. We'll talk to him about the NASCAR situation, the NFL, the NBA. And I want to ask him about the 90s. We'll ask him about the 90s. And you know what, Bergman? We'll kind of lay your idea on him about the Astros, the stinking, cheating Astros. All right, we'll get to Clint Yates in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And of course, our friends at Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil, made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Our buddy Clint Yates joins us, as he does every Thursday at this time, to hang out with us. Clint Yates, what do you remember best about the decade of the 90s? One that I think, every decade has pros and cons to it, but I would say overall, a decade where there was a lot of things that we still either have today, or that were very impactful as far as the way we look at the world today.
I would say one of the main things I remember as pertinent to now is the advancements in internet access capabilities.
Oh, yeah.
That is for sure. At the beginning of the 90s, I was a boy. At the end of the 90s is literally when I graduated from high school, so I consider myself a bit of a man at that point. But I just remember how much more wired the world became during the 90s. You could touch almost anything on earth within a second. Whereas when I was a kid and early in the 90s, that wasn't even a reality at all. You could watch it on TV. You could hear about it on the phone. You could perhaps hear about it on a shortwave radio. But by the time I got out of high school, bang, whole world was right there to enjoy.
Well, to your point, I was 12 when the 90s started, and then I was out of college and working by the time 1999 rolled out. So I'm with you on that. And, you know, the thing that's interesting to me is, yes, I do remember AOL. Like, we had this conversation the other day about, do you miss AOL chats? AOL chat rooms. But, you know, people were saying, look, Twitter's kind of that now, if you really
think
about it.
Pretty close to it. I mean, the same level of generally kind of bozo bird brain, you know, influence in general. I mean, we're approximating AOL chats at this stage of the game for sure.
Yeah. So we had Kenley Jansen on yesterday, closer extraordinaire of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he came out firing. I asked him about the Astros, right, and what it would be like to face them considering everything that's happened and just kind of what his thoughts are. And he laid into them. Go ahead, Laura, play it.
Honestly, with me, I'm over it, man. I mean, I feel like we were the true champions in 2017. We got cheated. I feel like Major League could have done a bit better job of, you know, probably, like, strip that championship down. To get cheated is the worst. But, I mean, to me, I feel like we're the true champion in 2017. No, it should be us. We got cheated. But if you're going to play them this year, just beat them, man. I'm not going to throw at guys or whatever. It's, you know, now you're not cheating no more. Let's go. Now we're going to play baseball, and hopefully we can beat them every game that we play them. We just, you know, boat racing. That's how I feel about it. So instead of trying to hit guys or whatever, nah, that's not cool. That's not cool throwing at any people. So I don't wish on anybody to do that, to throw at people. So just play them and try to beat them every day.
So he thinks the Dodgers are the rightful champions in 2017. What do you say, Clinton?
But he's over it, right? I mean, that, like, I'm not really sure I understand that. Like, oh, no, I'm over it, but we're the true champions. Listen, I understand that emotion, and that's real, but, like, there's a difference between being over it and then being, like, over it, don't ask me about it anymore. And it doesn't seem like he's not really trying to field the question for the purposes of being able to say he thinks they're the true champions, which I respect. It's just, like, at this point, everything he's saying is, it makes sense, but at the same time, you're kind of like, dang, I almost, not even forgot. It's just, like, so much stuff has happened over the past 6 months, year and a half, never mind 2017, that I'm just glad he came to the right conclusion. Throwing at guys in this state of affairs in baseball, dude, that's not how you want to play, man. There's already going to be so much drama with the number of players that are involved. I think he's got the right attitude going forward, but the true champions, I mean, I hope that counts for something because it doesn't count for a lot of fans.
Yeah, I will say this, though. I thought it was funny when we posted the audio and, you know, Astro fans very salty still. And it's weird because it's like you've got the trophy. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like there's no need for your salt, you know, to be added here. You know, the extra sodium is not necessary. And and it's just like they're like a whiny bunch right now, that group.
I think they're lucky. They almost wanted to be angry about it, but got the weird, like, Astros fans got the weird, like, free pass, as you might say, at NASCAR to get back off the last lap because, like, nobody's talking about that crap because of COVID. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got completely distracted. And the Astros are a big winner, by the way, of the offseason here, just so we're clear, because nobody's talking about cheating. And, you know, basically it's a non-story. And all these suspensions and all this other stuff just went out the window. So they're pretty lucky. I feel like they wanted the fight just to be able to have the fight. But now you're not going to get the fight, and we didn't deserve it either way.
All right, so the rule changes. Universal DH, runner on second base to start the 10th inning. We asked Kenley about that. Let's hear what Kenley had to say.
The runner on second base to start an extra inning. I mean, you know, as a pitcher, you know, you just, you know, you're always going to play, you know, competitive, our team win, but it's like, okay, who's that run going to be charged to? You know, who's that? It's going to be an earned run. It's going to be a run. You know, I mean, I know as a competitive pitcher, I guarantee you right now, no pitchers want that on their stats, you know. So that's the one that's going to be interested. And the DH, I kind of like. The universal DH to me is awesome because I believe, you know, why should we have pitchers hitting? You know, we don't practice that. We practice pitching. I think it's great to just get other young guys opportunity to be in the big leagues. So you have another spot there that you can have. And to me, that will help the game get better because, to me, I'm sorry, like, I never got that rule of, you know, a pitcher go out there and it's just an easy out.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want that. You want competition.
So I think the DH will be excited to be.
So what do you make of the universal DH and the inherited runner on second base in the 10th inning?
I'll start with the universal DH. I always thought the coolest option for this would have just been to let home teams pick, like either for the game or for the series. Like, I don't know. I might want to mix it up this game, you know, neutralize some other team, some guy who's hot or something like that, because nobody would pick it all the time anyway. They would just choose it every once in a while, and when they didn't, they could just do it. So that's what I always thought. But secondarily, the Dodgers are hugely helped by a universal DH rule. They got like four guys that they kind of sort of rotate in platoon based on batting, not even based on necessarily the free play. This is a huge advantage to the Dodgers just on their roster alone. So if I was Kenley, I would love it. I think that the rule for extra innings is something that is kind of unfortunately getting wedged in. Like, if this were a situation where 2020 was happening anyway with this short season, I would do that. But they were already going to do it anyway, and they're adding it in, so it feels gimmicky, but it's also going to move on to something that's not, so it's a weird application. But as a rule, I don't mind it. You know, I just think that it's one of those things that in modern baseball, we're going to have to find something that's going to be awkward for everybody to speed things up. And whether it's just stopping play after a certain amount of innings, whether or not they've won or lost or not, or trying to goose it so that somebody can get a run in, one of those is going to have to happen because the game is just too slow. And we could go on forever about how you shorten it up. But now that especially we're trying to just get games in and complete a season, absolutely. Do whatever you got to do to make sure the games can shut down. Who cares about the stats for this year anyway?
So Bergman wanted to create, since, you know, baseball's always creating new stats anyway. Bergman, give him the stat that you created for this particular instance.
Can't wait to hear this. I'm serious.
It's actually not a terrible idea.
Yeah,
by,
no,
by
I'm genuinely interested. Yeah.
Inherited runners allowed. So IRA.
How about that?
Inherited runners allowed to what? To
In the 10th inning. Yeah, like, I mean, they add all the time different stats. So because how often do you have an inherited runner?
Hold on,
that's just, yeah. Go ahead.
What do you say? How are you applying this stat though? Like, what are you saying? Like, in terms of how many you allow in?
Right. So because it's
ERA for IRA, but it's not just, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. That's harder to explain than it sounds, but like it actually makes a lot of sense. You know what I'm saying? I'm down with that. I like that. I like that a lot.
I like this. This has been a great day for me. I'm going to
keep it. That's a pretty smart idea because it'll matter too because certain guys will probably be better at it than others. That's the main reason why it's probably going to make a lot of sense because it might alter how you choose to affect your bullpen. Because I guarantee you that in some of these higher leverage situations, the typical setup guy who comes in with a clean inning is not always going to be the best guy in that situation. It's going to alter the psychology of the bullpen a lot to have to come in with with the runner on base. It should be fascinating.
Yeah, the Dodgers had a guy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there was a guy that the Dodgers had a few years ago named J.P. Howell, and he would come in, and he would always have runners on base, and he'd let them across, but his ERA was always like 1.25 because he would never allow his runners to get across.
Right.
But so it's all
can't
those,
have that, though.
Right, so that's why the inherited runner kind of helps that situation.
Okay, IRA. Look at Greg, the stat man over here.
And now give Bergman, give Clinton the idea that Ireland said is the worst idea ever. And I actually thought, you know, not terrible.
So this guy, Roger Schill on Twitter said, like a drive-in movie, fans should be allowed to listen to the game in their cars in the parking lot. Honking would replace cheering. And I said, I love this idea so much. How do we make this happen? I kind of like it more for using it to boo the Astros opposed to cheering for the Dodgers.
Oh, this is a great idea. I mean, I don't understand what's not to like. I mean, you get a convertible, you get a pickup truck, you get out there, you get that thing moving, and you can finally see somebody and talk about baseball and be around a crowd. Absolutely. I'm 1,000% in on this.
Ireland is just utilizing you, Bergman. He's just that. I feel like it's like a contaminated jury pool when it comes with Ireland and you. Like, I feel like that's what we've got going on here. Like, he is skewed. Like, that's what's happening here.
Also, think about it this way. In California, the kind of rides people would pull up with if you made a quasi car show.
Yeah.
I'd do a live broadcast out there. That'd be fantastic.
It would be a blast.
What are we talking about here? People getting together to listen to baseball on the radio with their cool cars? Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm in.
Ireland's big thing is that he's like, look, I'm from Newport Beach and I have to drive to Dodger Stadium. I have to sit in traffic. And then you want me to sit in my car again for another 4 hours? You want me in my car for 7.5 hours after I drive home? That's where Ireland's coming from.
Okay, yes. I mean, no, then fine. It's not for you, but you know, it's a great idea for people who don't have anything else to do.
It is a great idea, Bergman. I'm giving you that one, all right? Coming up next, we'll have more with Clinton. I want to get we also have our quick segment, What You Need to Know. We'll give you the two things that are most important right now going on in the world of sports. I want to get into the NBA with Clinton and also kind of some of the numbers that could be skewed in Major League Baseball, potentially because of what we're dealing with in a 60-game shortened season. So we'll get to all that. We're back in 2 minutes.